Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you're going to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson, available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscription button. Ooh, we're on a tear, Larson. Oh, that's right. I forgot to mention, we've got our plaque, our little trophy.
I see it. That means we have to schedule our sub party sometime.
182,000 subs on the YouTube, thanks to each and every single one of you out there who hit that subscribe button.
Yes.
Now we're actually way past 185,000. I don't know why that is. So, we're there. Be sure to hit that subscribe button if you haven't. Also, on the iOS, if you'd rather listen to this on in audio format, it's available wherever fine podcasts are. Take a look at the iOS podcast app and leave us a rating or review. That really helps the show.
Yes.
We're also available at Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. We've got 63 people watching now. We've got a bunch of dollar patrons with us today. That's right, from a dollar and up. You guys can watch live streams and ask questions on the podcast. We've got, like, every week we put up our QA threads for our dollar up patrons. At the $5 and up mark, every single week you get all three podcasts, our recap podcasts,
live streamed
just for those patrons. That's the best value tier. And there's all sorts of great rewards there. If you want to support Going In Raw, that's a great way to do it. And then we're also available at Pro Wrestling Tees at prowrestlingtees.com/Going In Raw. I'm doing it sometime this week. I'm going to do the latest Going In Raw logo shirt.
We should send Neville on Twitter a picture of one of our shirts.
Yeah.
See if he wants to join the Going In Raw team.
Hey, man, if he's granted his release, we should hashtag Neville Going In Raw, try to get him in here for his first shoot interview.
Yes.
He seems like too classy a guy to do his shoot interview. I think he's a little too cool for that.
Yeah.
But we can bring him on here and ask him about different subjects like movies.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a shooting interview. You can just talk to him.
We can talk about wrestling. We could just have him power rank his top favorite sandwiches.
There you go.
Perfect.
Fantastic
Neville,
idea.
We want you. We'll make you a main eventer, even though those other guys won't, seemingly. Anyways. Oh, we also got chat trivia today. All the dollar patrons are going to be chomping at the bit for their chance at chat trivia today.
Here are the questions right here.
What topics are we going to do?
Well, modern era and attitude era.
All right. That's in the post show.
So the categories are the same week after week.
Mm-hmm. Those categories are, of course, superstar bio.
Championships.
Big events.
Yes.
That's right. Oh, up for, I was going to show this too. The prize for chat trivia today, again, patron exclusive during the post show. A signed CM Punk card. Signed by Steven Larson.
Yeah.
Not CM Punk, but signed by me and Larson. And then the show notes for today's Daily Show. I'm sorry, for yesterday's Daily Show. Again, signed Steven Larson.
Cool.
It's all good stuff. Anyways. We should probably talk about SmackDown Live
now, probably.
Larson. Good episode.
It was okay.
Really?
See, yeah.
I thought it was good.
It was all right.
Like, he opened up with a giant 30-minute flipping... tag team match, a bunch of tag teams that are never going to pull those titles off the Usos.
I just kind of felt like, in terms of storyline, there really wasn't much development.
Really?
Nah.
I kind of felt like there was...
Or maybe the storyline development just didn't really grab me.
All right, well, listen, we'll figure out what
I've been
wrong.
Sick all week. I could just be kind of tuned out to things I normally wouldn't.
Well, you
enjoy.
Know what I did? You know what I did? I set up my couch in a different way over there to allow for more space for us, which is, you know, instead of just butting up against there... but also so I can watch the TV, and I put a big giant pillow in here. So I was cozied up. And then, of course, Alabama comes in and starts bugging me, and I got to get up for her.
Well, my comfort level wasn't the issue. I have a plenty of comfortable couch in my home. I just don't feel well.
It's your internal comfort.
Yeah.
People have different levels of comfort. See, I'm internally comfortable.
Because between the fires that are going on all around Northern California and whatever illness I'm dealing with, it's a lot of congestion up here.
Were you guys...
And that's really uncomfortable.
Did you feel... Was it in the air yesterday for you guys?
Not as much as it was today. It's
today,
awful
today. Dude, I
there
opened the door.
There was ash in my car this morning.
I opened the door this morning, like, because Bama and Lacey were leaving for school. And I opened the door for them, and I was like, Oh my! Even Bama, I was trying to say, "Hey, Bama, have a good day," and instead of saying, "You have a good day too," she just goes out there and starts going, "Oh my God, it's horrible out here! What's going on? Really, are there some fires in the area?" That's what Alabama
said. Oh, okay. I thought you were asking me that.
It's not really. No, horrible, though. Also, by the way, if anybody's really out bad. There in wine country there, oh, my goodness gracious, that's terrible. Anyways, let's talk about SmackDown and figure out what went wrong. The Usos came down and dropped a promo, called out the New Day.
Yeah. Also, shout out, I think it's Jordan Carter. He sent us an email saying he's going to be at SmackDown third row.
Oh, okay.
For bringing the Going in Raw sign.
Bright as day. And then I think, was it on Raw the day before that? Did you see the quick shot of the Friendo shirt?
Yeah, there's a couple little shots.
Pro Wrestling Tees.
Of the Friendo wearing the shirt.
Yeah, that was rad. That's always a trip, dude. I always like bringing one of the stepkids or Lacey because my ego needs to be fed. And I pause it. I'm like, isn't it weird that like something that I did is on TV? And they're like, who cares? Go away.
Yeah.
That's what they say to me.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I love seeing that stuff. We love seeing that stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
The enthusiasm you guys show is great.
It's fantastic.
New Day comes out, and the Usos...
they were saying, you know, hey, after the match, we went to our hotel, and we were banged up, mm-hmm. beat up, bruised,
yeah.
hurting.
Yeah.
And the only people that can understand that is the New Day.
Yeah.
And they more or less said, essentially, I think for storyline purposes, let's move on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Truce.
Yeah. Which is an interesting blow-off.
I know.
You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, it's the respect angle, and that's what the Usos said. And,
look,
and
I loved it. I thought it was great. I think it'll add. Here, I think backstage-wise or storyline, or not storyline-wise, but like mission accomplished, the Usos are elite.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that was like literally kind of what they said in their promo was it's us. And I think they said everybody in the back sucks. And Big E was like, hold on a second. And then Xavier Woods says, we're all the best. We can all agree with that. And so, yeah, like you said, they're about to shake hands on it, which I really want to say. I want to see some shaking of hands. I want to see some hugs.
Yeah.
Hype bro come out. And he said, this is the problem.
Mojo said,
it's just you guys and you're hogging the tag division. And then
the Usos brought up the fact that they beat him recently.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Out come Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin.
Said, end of the line.
Yeah.
And then Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin come out.
Say, hey, we just beat you at Hell in the Cell. Yeah, back of the line.
Well, yeah, but they were saying, look at Chad Gable. Look what he got. He got a Shelton Benjamin, an IC winner, a tag team champion.
And U.S. champion.
U.S. champion. Guess what? Back of the line.
I know, that was good. Breezango come out. And
he
then,
said, look what you got. You got yourself a Shelton Benjamin. That was funny.
Breezango come out. Uso's about to run them down, and Xavier Woods stop and says, no, Breezango's cool.
Yeah. And then they said, yeah, we like those fashion files.
Ascension comes out, interrupts Breezango.
And Tyler Breeze says, why do you guys keep following us?
No, the opening segment was good.
My favorite part of the Ascension, though, was that we're tired of being in the wasteland.
I know.
Like
their whole thing.
Their catchphrase was, welcome to the wasteland. And now he's using it as, we're tired of being in the wasteland. We want to be in the tag division.
I know. That was good.
So that was good.
Yeah, the opening segment was really good.
I thought it was fun. Then Daniel Bryan comes out and he says, get out of the ring. And he gets kind of pissy with him. He says, when I say get out of the ring.
He's even grumpy. Maybe he's sick too.
I think he didn't get enough sleep. He's got that kid, man. Their kid is the cutest little thing I've ever seen, though. He saw pictures on Instagram or whatever it was, and that little baby is so cute. That's like how freaking soft I am now because I have a kid of my own. It's like, oh, look at those babies. They're all cute. Sitting on an airplane, see a mom trying to put her baby down by, like, you know, standing up and rocking it and stuff. And you're like, oh, look at that. It's so cute. What's become of me? Anyways, Daniel Bryan says, we're going to have a fatal four-way for the number one contendership for title opportunity. Are you getting used to the word, to the phrase title opportunity yet?
Yeah, that's fine.
Because I'm not. I hate it. I want title shot. What's wrong with title shot? Give me my shot.
It's one of those things I'm guessing Vince just doesn't like the sound of, so he doesn't want it used.
It sounds so corporate.
It sounds like
if you're moving up the chain at Enterprise Rent-A-Car or something.
I mean, all the stuff that...
You want a management opportunity?
All the stuff that Vince has people say. And like, you can't say wrestler, you have to say sports entertainer. It all sounds very corporate.
That I've always hated that, but that's been a little while now.
Oh, I know.
And they've kind of come back around sometimes
kind
to wrestler.
Of. I mean, Cesaro had that shirt, and I don't know if it was homemade or something that said professional wrestler on it. He wore it for a while. So anyways, yeah, that was next. Breezango versus Gable and Benjamin versus the Ascension versus the Hype Bro winner, number one contender.
Yeah. Was this, I forget now, was this elimination? I feel like it was. Or was it not? I thought people were getting eliminated.
Seems like that would be the case, were yes.
They? I forget now. Anyways, they had a match. Shelton, Benjamin, and Gable went over.
There's this great spot where Shelton Benjamin was giving everybody spine busters.
And
then Chad Gable was giving everybody suplexes kind of back and forth.
They're a hell of a team. And the funny thing is their characters are kind of built in already. It's just they need TV time.
Yes.
That's literally all it is. Like, it's not necessarily we need to figure out who. We know it's like Lethal Weapon, dude. You got Chad Gable, the young guy. You got Shelton Benjamin, Danny Glover. It's perfect. It writes itself. Put him on TV. Let's see some more of Shelton Benjamin's eye rolling at, you know, energetic, youthful Chad Gable. Writes itself. Put him on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like they're going to be on TV. They went over. They did their finisher. I think that their finisher is too much, though.
It takes too long, especially how they finished the match.
It's
where
so long.
Tyler Breeze was up in powerbomb position, tried to do a Hurricane Rana.
That was a cool moment, but the second time
he tried again, but Shelton Benjamin picked him back up.
Yeah,
but Chad Gable had to leave the ring, get to the top rope, and do the bulldog. And this takes too long.
It's too involved. It's like you need finishers that can either come out of nowhere or the setup is fairly minimal.
No, I agree.
But in this case, it's literally Gable has to do one thing.
What Gable needs to do is tag in before Benjamin even gets their opponent up in powerbomb position.
Yeah.
That way, by the time the person who's going to take the finisher is already in powerbomb position by the time he's on the top rope. So it's seamless. It's just as soon as he's in powerbomb position, bang.
But isn't part of it Gable lifting them up onto
Benjamin? Not necessarily.
Benjamin?
No.
Have they done it without that?
Yeah.
Oh, they have? Okay.
Yes.
I thought every time it's been him chucking them up into the dude's shoulders. Okay.
Usos were sitting ringside, too, during the match.
Yeah. They were watching to see who their next opponent would be. So that should be fun. Their next pay-per-view is just Survivor Series, right?
Yeah. And after that, it's Clash of Champions.
Okay. All right. So we'll see if we get this is going to happen on SmackDown.
Yeah, it seems
that'll happen on SmackDown.
It seems that'd be the case.
I really do hope that they use this. I mean, look, man, like I said earlier, mission accomplished with, the Usos sort of bringing them up to New Day level in terms of like how we can view them as champions. Now it's time to start working on another tag team.
Yes.
I think Benjamin Gable's the way to go.
Agreed.
So hopefully we get a lot more of them on TV. Still no sign. We're on Hype Bro breakup. Watch 2017.
There was a spot where they were getting kind of pushed into each other and they were kind of sniping back and forth, but not a full-fledged breakup.
They're stretching that one.
Yeah. Drama. Next, we had Dasha Fuentes standing outside Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn's locker room.
Mm-hmm. She wasn't distractingly stiff. So
no. It seems like that's the case only when she's asking questions.
Yeah.
Because she's a good ring announcer.
Hey, look, man, I hate asking questions, too. I hate doing interviews. I really do. I mean, I always feel accomplished after I've gotten through one, but I'm very glad they're done.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the lead up to 2K18, knowing that we were going to be interviewing some people when we went to the archives, that was all I could think about. Like, gives me anxiety.
Really?
I don't like doing it. Don't like doing it. Because I'm like, what am I going to ask them? What if I come off like a jerk?
We had stuff prepared.
What if I lose myself? And like,
then when we found out, okay, well, we have to change the situation dictates that we change what we're going to do. We talked about it for like 2 minutes, and then we said, okay, let's do this, and that was that.
Yeah, I know. I just think about it the entire time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Let's see here. Next up, we had Natalia backstage. I heard they need to either write something different for her, or she needs to practice before it. And I know she's a heel. She's supposed to be annoying. I get that that's her thing. She's too annoying. It's too prefabricated.
Here's the thing that kind of occasionally bugs me about SmackDown is anytime they need to kind of reset feuds, what they do is just have everybody in the division get involved in like some big match or some big scrum.
Yeah.
Have a multi-woman or team match, new number one contender. Mm-hmm. Happens every time.
Yeah.
It's really predictable.
Yeah, I know.
And while the opening segment with the tag teams was a lot of fun,
it's
kind of the same thing they've done a bunch of times already.
Yeah, I know, but with the tag team, like we haven't seen any of those guys in forever. You know?
Yeah, it's been a little while. I know.
So I'm okay with that. But you're right. Like with this stuff, with the women's stuff, it seems like every time they do another, you're right about that. And we see that.
And I understand the upside of it is you get everybody from the division involved, and it seems like everybody's on the same level in terms of being legitimate contenders for the title.
Right.
I just kind of wish they would find new ways of getting to that instead of just saying, okay, well, here's another six-woman match. Determine new number one contender.
Yeah, I know.
So anyways, Natalia's backstage talking about being champion. In walks Lana and Tamina. Lana says, oh yeah, that belt does look good on you. It's going to look even better around Tamina's waist. Ravishing Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
Carmella comes in and says, hey, I have briefcase still.
Yeah. She looked great. She has a pink version of the singlet with the dollar sign on it.
Yeah.
That looks great.
And then Natalya starts talking trash about Charlotte. Charlotte comes in, stares at her.
Giant Charlotte. She's so tall.
She is tall. Hits her.
She decked the crap out of her.
Yeah.
And Natalya just said, she just turned to her and said something. I forget. But Charlotte just freaking decked her with a forearm. It was fantastic.
And then seemingly out of nowhere, Naomi and Becky Lynch showed up. Mm-hmm. Everybody's brawling. Russ pulls them apart.
Yeah.
Next, Baron Corbin interview.
Baron Corbin.
Corbin.
Hey, you know what?
I will say the highlight of the show for me, I'm getting ahead of myself,
is
Baron Corbin shoving that belt in people's faces.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Backstage. I hope he keeps that up.
I know.
The rest of his career.
It's like the literal, he said, I'm going to shove this in people's faces. And you just think he's talking metaphorically speaking, but no, he literally went around doing it.
And that was great.
It was fantastic.
He just kind of lurk up on them and shove the belt in their face and walk away. It was great.
He's like the Burger King.
I know. Just show up
from
behind and shove his belt in your face. It was good.
So anyways, he was talking about shortcuts and winning and AJ Styles. And I'm
taking advantage of opportunities.
Yeah.
He's champ now.
What was he used one odd word twice. To punctuate it. I forgot what it was. AJ Styles. Something. I thought it was funny. It was he learned a new word. Anyways.
Is that one of those calendars that has a new word on each
right, day? Exactly. Or it's a toilet paper that has a new word on it.
Well, actually, it's probably an app he has. Because he's on the road so much, I don't think he carries
it. Is there a Twitter feed you can follow that's word of the day?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, I'm sure there is. I'm sure there's an app that you just download that has a new word for you every day.
I feel like he's more of a he just does it on Twitter,
though. Could be. If there is that kind of app, I want to get it now. I want to learn new words.
You're pretty verbose. It's probably
I could be better.
They're probably $2 words, man. Well, I wonder if there's varying levels of that Twitter account. I want the most verbose Twitter account that does that.
It'd be like the episode of The Simpsons where Homer completely changes his vocabulary and then forgot all the basic words.
Yeah.
He didn't know what a spoon was anymore.
Yeah. Oh, man.
After that, we had Becky Lynch against Carmella.
Was this motivated at all?
No, and that's what I mean. This is the one match I was like, why are they having this match at all? What's the storyline reason for it?
Yeah, there's no reason for that. I'm not going to complain about a Becky Lynch match.
No, this was actually a really fun match.
Yeah, no, it was fine. It was good.
I love
Carmella's character work in she's not the best wrestler in the world.
She's getting better, though.
She's getting better, but her character work is fantastic.
Yeah.
It's really good. Whenever somebody tries to call a timeout, I giggle.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's funny.
Becky went over with a disarm her.
Disarm her.
No hijinks after this match. Just it ended.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Do you think Carmella's close to cashing in because she keeps losing?
Evidently not. I don't know.
Well, you thought it was going to happen last night.
Yeah, I know. Well, I thought Charlotte was going to have the title too. That didn't happen either.
Nope.
So I guess I lost predictions. Next up, we had Kevin Owens and the big Sami Zayn reveal as evil Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
So Kevin Owens comes out and he says, he talks about Hell in a Cell. And then he says, now let me introduce my best friend, Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn comes out and he essentially says.
Well, he gave actually three different reasons. He said first, the thought process started when Kevin Owens. Gave him an apron powerbomb.
Yeah, because Kevin Owens was saying thank you, and Sami Zayn said, hold on a second, I need to thank you, because my thought process changed exactly. My thought process changed. Once you powerbomb me on that apron, I thought to myself, man, I try to be good. I try to be nice. I try to do things the right way. Kevin Owens doesn't, but look at what Kevin Owens has to show for it. Intercontinental champion, U.S. champion, Universal champion, and look at me. What do I have to show for it?
Mediocre. Mediocrity.
Exactly. Mediocrity. Yeah.
Mediocrity.
And
then he said, he talked about that segment a couple weeks ago or a week ago where he passed by Shane in the hallway and he warned Shane, hey, Kevin was my best friend. Look what he did to me. You better be careful. And Shane said, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. He just sloughed
him
off.
And then during the match, Sami said, I wanted Shane to win.
Mm-hmm.
Then when Shane knocked Owens off the cage through the table, he said, sorry, Kevin, Shane could have won the match right there.
Mm-hmm.
But instead he thought about himself. He didn't want to just, win. He didn't want to pin you. He wanted to hurt you, maybe worse.
Yeah.
So he climbed to the top of the cell to go for the elbow. And Sami says, Kevin has been a lot of things to me. He's been my friend. He's been my rival. But the whole time, he's been my brother.
Yeah.
And so that's why he did it. He went out to save his brother.
Yeah. I kind of called that, too. Except they didn't call him necessarily going heel, which is essentially what he did here. And he punctuated at the end by thanking Kevin Owens and reintroducing the crowd. Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Owens is in a celebratory manner. And
they did that back
and
forth
they did like several hugs.
Yeah.
And Sammy was being a little shittier than he used to be. Yeah. So
I really hope that somehow they incorporate the snarky Sami Zayn where he analyzes.
Oh, I know,
matches.
Me too. I know.
That'd be great.
That would be fantastic. That'd be good. But I kind of figured it'd go back to him. I honestly didn't think that it was going to be like as much of a heel turn as it was necessarily. And it wasn't like evil Sammy.
No,
it was actually well-reasoned, Sammy.
Yeah, and like he just kind of upped the snark factor of,
right, exactly,
of everything.
Yeah, but I did think that...
Because like when he came out and did his normal stuff for his entrance, the same song play, but it seemed like all his motions, all his movements, all his
body
mannerisms
yeah.
was a little more over the top.
A little more sarcastic.
But knowingly
it was almost
so,
sarcastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Like, hey, I'm still Sami Zayn. I'm still out here.
Whatever kind of thing. Yeah,
stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, look at me.
But I figured he'd bring the whole family aspect of it into
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
I thought that'd be the case, too. So, I thought it was good. I thought it was... I'm really, really interested to see how this plays out, where it goes. Because, I mean, obviously, if you take the long view, it's probably going to lead to...
another feud between them.
Yeah. But, I mean...
And hopefully this is the one that actually catapults Sammy into the main event.
You would think so. I mean, we've mentioned this before that... by several different, I think Jim Cornette mentioned this in the shoot interview, and that's why I sort of clung on to it. But that Kevin Owens on the indie circuit kind of acted as Sami Zayn's
agent, or less, right?
Essentially. Yeah. And I've always wondered if he would take on the same kind of role in the WWE or if they had kind of a pact, mm-hmm. Because Sami Zayn, if you look back, we did the Going In Raw review last time of that NXT show, and it's like, man, Sami really put Kevin Owens over.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say necessarily to his detriment, but if it was anybody else in those roles, man, that's putting a lot of trust into the guy that you're putting over, that's taking a lot away potentially from yourself to get that other guy over. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Anything that has more Sami Zayn, I'm into.
Yeah, me too. Next we had another match that at least one team, their partnership was completely unmotivated. Randy Orton and Shinsuke Nakamura took on Rusev and Aiden English. Now, it was about a month ago where Orton and Nakamura were tag team partners.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the match, Orton gave him an RKO.
Yeah.
I know it's a detail, a small one. It's the stuff like this I wish they would address sometimes.
Yeah, I know.
Because, like, why would Nakamura team with Orton considering that happened?
Yeah.
I know they had a match the following week for a number one contendership or something. Nakamura won. Water under the bridge, no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Still.
Yeah.
I would think that he'd be a little hesitant to partner with him again.
A 20-second backstage segment could have washed that away.
I know.
Yeah, 20 seconds. I know. He could have done that.
Rusev and English got the jobber entrance.
Yeah. That's a bummer, too.
I know.
Because they both have great entrances.
I know. Despite all that, it was actually a pretty fun match.
Mm-hmm.
I like that Orton now fully incorporates side suplexes into the announce table, into his repertoire.
Yeah.
Did that to Rusev. And then Rusev kicked Orton in the head,
mm-hmm.
knocked him out of the ring. English followed it up with a swinging neck breaker, and it's like Orton was getting beat up pretty much the entire match.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually got the hot tag to Nakamura. He was about to give Aiden English a Kinshasa. Rusev grabbed him. Nakamura reversed it to a kick. Orton RKO'd Rusev. Right after that, Nakamura hit a Kinshasa on Aiden English, got the pin.
Got the pin, yeah.
I don't know where Nakamura's next feud with Rusev and or Aiden English.
God, it's not going to be with Aiden English. It'll be with, I could see it being with Rusev.
But Rusev and Orton doesn't seem like it's over.
Well, there goes my thoughts of Shinsuke actually getting the title anytime soon.
Yeah,
huh?
No.
I did not see that coming.
I know.
Evidently, they're burying him. Wow.
I don't think it's burying him. I think they're putting everything into getting Mahal over as a heel.
Yeah, I know. look, man, if this all leads to AJ versus Nakamura at WrestleMania,
that's all we really want.
That's all I really want.
Ideally for some title. Ideally for the WWE title, but just give us that match at least.
Give us that, dude. Come on.
AJ wants it. I'm guessing Nakamura wants
it. I mean, the roadmap is kind of there even now with AJ,
He's firmly out of the US title scene now after that match.
I know. And he's only going to go up.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, I think they do view AJ as like a big star.
Yeah.
Rightfully so.
Yes.
So I don't know.
Next was an interview with AJ Styles.
Yep.
Responding to Baron Corbin's interview earlier in the show.
Brought
some decent intensity to it. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I remember more than anything else, more so than exactly what he said.
Yeah, I mean, you know, said he was going to get his U.S. title back.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Next up we had, so here we go. 2B has debuted. The bludgeon. You said Ugg?
Yeah.
Why Ugg?
This is like an 80s
They're
gimmick.
They're on TV.
But it's like such an 80s gimmick.
Oh, I liked it, man. They got giant. Dude, come on. It's Harper and Rowan with massive hammers.
Yeah, it's corny.
And they're called the Bludgeon Brothers.
Yeah, that's corny. That is super corny.
Come on. Just let go, man. Let go. It's great.
It's super corny.
Bludgeon Brothers. I hate the word bludgeon.
Yeah.
The only time I want to hear the word bludgeon is when I'm watching Dateline. Bludgeon Brothers. That's terrible.
It's not good.
But I love it.
It's corny.
Because, come on. Okay, here's the thing.
Here's the first thing I thought of. It's like, okay, Bludgeon Brothers. I guess War Machine's not signing with WWE now.
Oh, they can sign. Well, they just lost. But, yeah, I'm not worried about War Machine. War Machine, they're going to go through NXT anyway. It's going to be a while. That's one does not have to do with the other. Yeah, it's a terrible name.
Mm-hmm.
They have giant hammers.
Corny.
And it's Luke Harper and Eric Rowan.
I like Luke Harper.
Totally fine with it. Let me ask you something. If Vince came to you and said, hey, Larson, I got an idea. You have two choices. Go ahead.
What looked cheaper, their hammers or Evil Scythe?
They're it's all so cheap.
I know.
It came out of the same shop.
It's corny.
It's so corny. But if Vince came and said, Larson, you're booking SmackDown Live. And he said, I'm thinking of keeping Luke Harper and Eric Rowan off TV. But Michael Hayes wants to call them the Bludgeon Brothers and give them big cheesy hammers. What would you rather do? What should I do?
Keep them off TV. Wait for a better gimmick.
What? Keep them off TV for even more time?
Wait for a better
You've
gimmick.
You've gone crazy.
This thing is going to land with a thud.
It's 2B. Bludgeon Brothers, 2B.
No, I get that.
They're the guys that did it.
Yeah, that's what Internet Dershey's been saying for weeks.
Do you think for months? Do you think they're actually going to follow through with that? This is such a stupid small thing, but I am legitimately curious. Do you think they're going to follow through? Because it's obvious that it was going to be them.
Yeah.
But they might be trying to package them into something a little more serious than like dicking around with Breezango.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to revisit that? We didn't get the Pulp Fiction fashion files.
Yeah, I know. That's strange.
That was weird. How do you not know? How is it on Sunday you have a pay-per-view where you have the option to either run this promo for something that's going to happen on Tuesday or not, and not know that it's not going to happen on Tuesday? How do you not know that?
Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know why they do that.
That's weird.
It's strange to me, too.
Did the Usos go long or something? Like talking at the beginning?
Yeah, I don't know. I would think they would cut this Bludgeon Brothers promo before they cut Fashion Police.
No, man. I love it. The Bludgeon Brothers.
Oh, it's terrible.
It's great.
It's awful.
So excited about this.
Next, Bobby Roode comes out, drops a promo.
This
Dolph
was my segment of the freaking night, dude.
It's because it was a botch. That's why. Dolph comes out again with his Young Lion entrance.
Well, they did the record scratch.
Yeah.
I love the record scratch.
Yeah, it's, you love record
scratch.
It makes
me so happy. Anyways, Dolph comes out. And all of a sudden, now that Dolph is doing somebody with somebody,
Oh, he was really good last night.
All of a sudden, his promos are great.
Yeah, he was really good last night.
It's honestly because he cracks me up. So Bobby Roode comes
out. I'm the smartest man in the world.
He calls himself I'm the greatest WWE performer in history.
In-ring performer.
And then he said something else. So, yeah, he was talking about Bobby Roode. He was saying, I exposed you like I said I would. And I really wanted him to say that he won the match. I thought that he was going to say he won the match. And I was like, is this going to transition Dolph into like a pathological liar? Because that would be hilarious.
Or straight up delusional.
If he just came out and started like completely like revisionist history Dolph.
No, not even revisionist history. Just like imagining history that didn't happen.
Exactly.
Just completely delusional.
Exactly.
Like he feels so looked over,
yeah,
that he completed an alternate history.
So,
formed an alternate history, not completed. So
they were supposed to get to the point where Dolph says, I can beat you anytime, anywhere. And Bobby says, okay, bring it. We're going to have a rematch. And Dolph comes up to the ring and then walks away like every heel does, like we just saw Alexa Bliss do. But somewhere along the line, somebody, and I'm pretty sure it was Bobby, forgot his lines. Because
he said, Dolph says, I want my rematch. Bobby says, okay, let's do it.
He says, okay, it's going to happen. you know it's gonna be the same result as last time.
Yeah, that's the thing. He says that, and it's like, okay, you're going to win again by roll-up?
and then Dolph, here's the thing. You can see Bobby's got his mic, and then it cuts to Dolph, and Dolph's mic is way down here. And I think Bobby is like, wait, he's like, I said my line. Isn't he supposed to be like freaking about to talk? Is he supposed to say something? So maybe it was he fed his line, and maybe he either had something else that he was supposed to say, or Dolph thought that he had something else to say. But then Bobby like put his microphone back up and was like, so, you know, are we going to, what's going to,
yeah,
we're going to do. Yeah. And then I swear he just stared at him and went, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Dolph said, like last time, like, I'm going to dominate you whole match. Yeah.
He said, perfect. Perfect. And he said, yeah. Yeah. Perfect. Okay. We're
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Perfect. and then Bobby Roode, I think, just went straight to like wrestling promo 101. If you get lost.
Less talking, more violence.
And he just said, I'm tired of talking to you. Let's just fight. Oh, man. Yeah. I don't know, man. Maybe, but like, I'd never heard him flub as a heel in NXT. Maybe he simply needs to be a heel.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have no idea. He's like, I don't get what... He's probably like, what's my motivation exactly?
I know. That's the whole thing. Is his motivation is just proving Dolph wrong. It's thin.
Because the promo was actually kind of long.
Yeah, it was.
And so, you know, you show up, and you know, these days, like, freaking Neville walks out, so they have to rewrite the entire show on the fly. The women's match is not elimination. Now it's elimination. You get to SmackDown. And, you know, Fashion Files is there, then it's not there. And then they go
up. That's a lot to keep up with.
They go up to Bobby Roode. Bobby just gets in there, and they say, hey, Bobby.
Here, we completely rewrote your promo.
Rewrote your promo. You're going on in 10 minutes.
And he's like. No, he's like, I'm about to go. I'm walking to the ramp right now. I'm a gorilla.
Like, going down like this, walking down. So I'm walking to gorilla.
Pokes him on the shoulder.
Exactly. Huh, what? Here's your new script. And he's like, wait, do I read the red stuff or don't read the red stuff?
Is red stuff new or is that the old stuff?
Is this the
is
new
that
stuff?
Subtext? Is that direction you're giving me?
What am I supposed to do with this? And so he's walking down the aisle and it's like, he's like, you see his lips moving a little bit. He's like reciting his words.
Glorious. He'll mouth the words to his theme.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's just kind of doing it, but it's the lines from his script. But he's doing it to the like, melody of his song.
I want a rematch.
It will not end like last time.
Oh, God. Oh, man. That makes me laugh so hard.
What made me laugh was Baron Corbin walking backstage, shoving his belt in people's faces.
Yeah, that was great, too. That was awesome.
Fantastic.
Wasn't as good as, yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
That doesn't make me uncomfortable.
Oh, man.
I knew it was coming.
That was fantastic. That was so. I know I texted you right when it happened. That made me laugh. Anyways. Yeah.
That took us to the main event.
Yeah, the main event.
Really good main event.
Yeah, they gave this thing like 10 minutes. It was good. I mean, it was 16. I always look at my watch, like, or my clock, my phone, when the main event's about to happen because I'm like, all right. Let's see. They just got through entrances. We're about to get 2 minutes of commercials. There are 16 minutes left. That'll take us 14 minutes. We'll have one commercial during the thing. So it'll be a 12-minute match. All right, cool. So they had a 12-minute match.
It was a lot of fun. Really good.
No, it was good. Baron, like, you know, I feel like obviously Baron's out of his punishment phase. I think he feels good about that. He's on solid footing.
Well, also, too, I think he learned something from all this. I feel like he's upped his effort. His concentration level is higher. His effort level is higher. He seems less likely, at least right now, to kind of rest on his laurels.
I wonder if he was a little too method before. Like, Baron Corbin is supposed to be a bit apathetic.
Yeah.
So maybe he was taking that too close to heart.
Just cruising,
yeah. But anyways, no, fantastic match. AJ Styles made Baron Corbin look like $1 million.
Yep.
Corbin went over clean.
Yeah.
That was rad. So he had him for the finish, AJ had him in the calf crusher, right? Was it?
Well, no, the finish saw Baron got tossed to the outside. AJ was going to do some sort of move. Baron caught him and threw him on the ring mat.
That was rough.
Yeah.
That was rough.
And then they got back in the ring, end of days, and that was it.
No. It was, no.
The calf crusher was before the spot.
That was before that spot?
I believe so, yeah.
When he, I thought he, like, he rammed his head into the floor. Are you serious? Really?
I think so, yeah.
No.
I think so.
In any event, it was a cool move. But yeah, he gave him a...
Dean had done that before to reverse the calf crusher, his slam AJ's head to the mat.
Well, Baron Corbin was doing some homework then. Well done.
Well, only took one shot from Baron, whereas Dean would have to do it several times. Mm-hmm. Because Baron's large.
Yeah,
he's a big, tall...
Big man. Dean's a little tiny
heavyweight.
Guy. He's a little baby boy. Dean is...
After the match, Baron shoves the belt in AJ's face.
It was great because he kind of dangled it at first. Like AJ was laying there selling it. It was great. Sort of dangled it. It was like sort of
talking trash.
Yeah.
And then Renee Young gets in the ring and interviews Baron.
Mm-hmm.
And he said something about all of the fans are going to cry a river of tears.
Yeah. He said, I'm going to. And he said something like, didn't he say something like, I'm going to get a boat and drive it down your river of tears?
Yeah.
You're not me.
Yeah, it was good.
I'm us champion. I stole that from somebody on Twitter. I forgot who. Sorry, I didn't give you credit. I'm us champion. That's funny, though. I don't know. So now after we went over SmackDown, do you feel it was a more entertaining show?
No.
No? Really?
No.
See, what we just described sounded really entertaining to me.
Yeah, it was just the matches that were completely unmotivated by any sort of storyline that bugged me. If it weren't for that, maybe I'd be into it more. Right, there's just a lot of unmotivated story and unmotivated matches.
Yeah.
And it takes me out of what's going on when I don't know why things are happening.
I should prepare. My match is going to be the same thing.
The result's going to be the same.
Yeah.
Let's answer some questions, Steve.
Hey, let's answer some questions.
Eddie Jose Glorious Menavar, Power Rank. Top five wrestlers that you guys would manage. One, Neville.
No. You don't want to manage a guy who can out-mic you.
This makes your job all the easier.
Okay. I'm going to say Mustafa Ali. I want to manage him. And watch as he like just drops from the out of camera.
He's really good.
Yeah, he's really good. I want to
Ty Dillinger. That's who I want to manage.
Oh my god, you guys would be so boring together.
Thanks.
I want to manage Becky Lynch.
She's really good on the mic.
She's got so much enthusiasm. It seems infectious.
True.
I love her hair.
Yeah, her hair is good.
Yeah. Me and her should move into an apartment together when all this is over. You know where I got that from, right?
Mm-mm.
Anchorman.
Oh, yeah.
Champ Kind said that.
Yeah.
We should move into an apartment. Okay, Champ, just sit this one out. Who else? Brock Lesnar. Screw it. I'm going to go. No, Roman Reigns.
The Ascension.
You want heel on Roman Reigns? Get me out there.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
The Ascension.
Oh, they seem like fun. And Bobby Roode. Bobby, we got to go over your lines. No, I think I'm glorious. I'm good. I can do it. Bobby, trust me. They just gave me a brand new script.
Good. Let's go. James Rodriguez, Power Rank.
Power
Top rank. Five reunions in WWE. I guess because The Shield reunited.
The Shield.
Owens and Sami Zayn reunited.
Reunited.
I knew you were going to do that.
It feels so good.
DX, their reunion.
Yeah, theirs kind of sucked, though. I like their reunion when it lasted like 3 minutes and then Triple H turned
on
Shawn Michaels.
That's what I was talking
about.
Oh,
okay. Well, then they reunited afterwards, like for reals.
Oh, I know.
So, no, I like the first one, though.
Like when the NWO came back, that was garbage.
Yeah, that was garbage. Reunions are usually bad, not good.
I'm trying to think of a tag team that broke up and got back together. Oh, the Hardy Boys, when they got back together. That was cool.
Yeah. How about the Dudley? I mean, there's like a difference between returns and
reunions.
Well,
I'm not talking about when the Hardy Boys returned to WWE. I mean, when they, you know, because they feuded a lot.
Yeah.
But then they
I think that was hot, yeah.
When they got back together, especially in TNA.
When Edge and Christian got back together to do a podcast together.
There you go, in a comedy show.
Oh, when Rock and Mankind reunited as Rock and Sock Connection. That was good. Yeah, reunions are usually kind of bugged now that I think about it. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. More questions. Let me get on my phone so I can actually look at some questions.
The Down Undertaker, Zach Parks. What do you want to see done with the New Day? Also, did anyone notice Breeze getting carried up the ramp by Connor after the tag match?
Oh, I didn't notice that. That's hilarious. You noticed that?
No, I didn't.
That's fantastic.
What's next for the New Day? Obviously, the Usos are moving on to a program with Gable and Benjamin. What's the New Day going to do?
I would think Hype Bro.
Yeah.
I would think Hype Bro. I think instead of breaking them up, just make Hype Bro evil.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's good. We saw shades of it last night. Mm-hmm. Just do that. Say you guys are overrated. We're Hype Bro. Speaking of which, Nathan Raglan, the Magnum TA champion, asks, do you guys think if the Hype Bro had at least one shot at the title, I'm gonna assume he means title run. Their eventual breakup would be more significant. I would say, yeah, the more success you have, the bigger a deal it is.
Yeah.
It's kind of simple math.
Yeah,
you know?
Especially the more success you have, people form a bond.
Mm-hmm.
Then, yeah. Chalupa Batman, hey, friendos, what NXT superstar would you add with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn to form a trio? It's Adam Cole, baby.
Adam Cole. Oh, man, yeah.
How awesome would that be?
Adam Cole, baby.
Actually, add two, and guess what you get? Huh. New Mount Rushmore of wrestling.
I know, exactly. That'd be great.
Adam Cole and Roderick Strong.
Yeah.
I think that'd be fantastic.
Liam Wagner, when the Paige Xavier Woods Brad Maddox incident happened earlier this year, Xavier took the situation in a comedic way for a little bit. So when Paige returns to SmackDown, as she's rumored to be doing, do you guys think there will be any knocks or inside references to the tapes, Alberto Dorito, or her time away from the ring?
No. Not for a while, at least.
I could see Big E giving a wink and a nod.
Oh, maybe.
Maybe Big E. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's going to be... They're not going to be on the screen at the same time. I mean, there's no reason for them to be. But...
Marcius Mark, so Luke and Rowan's new team name is Bludgeon Brothers.
Bludgeon Brothers.
That sucks. Rename the team, please.
Okay, what's their new name? I honestly just like Rowan and Harper. Sounds like that. What was that? Laugh-In?
Yeah.
Rowan and
Martin.
Martin, yeah. Have them be a Laugh-In, like some
there you
hosts
go.
Of Laugh-In.
That's good.
Of a 60, late 60s
come
comedy
to the ring,
show.
Carrying some martinis.
For sure.
Yeah, that's good.
That'd be great.
Some nice suits.
That'd be fantastic.
There you go. That's a much better angle than Bludgeon Brothers.
Some martinis. My dad, I was cracking my dad up. My dad was over the other day, and I flipped it on the Decades channel, which is like my favorite thing in the whole world.
Yeah.
And Laugh-In was on. I was just watching it, and I turned to him, and I'm like, do you guys think this is funny back in the day? Because it's not very funny. Like, these days, it's horribly unfunny. It's so corny. You start cracking up. Let's see here. We'll talk about Mercenary TGX has a question that's kind of better for tomorrow, but we'll answer anyways. If Neville really did quit the WWE, what are the odds he goes to New Japan, Ring of Honor for a few years, makes a big name for himself, and comes back to WWE? I think anything is... If he just quit because of this creative type stuff,
yeah,
I think then the odds of him coming back eventually are much greater than like if you're CM Punk and you got fired on your wedding day and then got hit with a lawsuit.
Yeah, that's why Punk's not coming back.
I mean, I think he's already a big name, but I think the odds of him, yeah, going to New Japan, Ring of Honor, probably are pretty high.
Yeah.
And then coming back.
low-level writer Carlos Hackworth. What's up, friendos? Hey, Carlos.
Hello, Carlos.
Which is more likely to happen? Sammy turns on Kevin. Jericho returns to break Sammy and Kevin up. Or Sammy and Kevin go for tag team gold?
Sammy and... That's something for the New Day to maybe do.
Oh, yeah. That'd be good.
Yeah.
That would be good.
Ooh.
Be some good promos
that'd
there.
That'd be really good. So if the New Day does mix it up with Sammy and Kevin, I could see that being possibly a path. I mean, you got to figure Vince probably likes how Seth and Dean are doing with the... It's kind of the same thing, you know?
Yeah, it's very similar.
Yeah.
Drop my card.
A glorious Steve Klein. Who has the better friendship, Zayn and Owens or Steve and Larson?
How long have they been friends?
Not as long as we have.
I mean, I've never apron powerbombed you.
Yeah, I feel like... Our friendship has been mainly ups and not a lot
and
of downs.
Free of violence.
Free of violence. I would hazard to guess you and I.
Yeah.
Sean Hulver wants us to power rank contenders for the U.S. title. Now AJ's out of the picture. Baron Corbin. Bobby Roode's got to be number two.
Ty Dillinger, number five.
Okay.
I was
although like, I think Ty Dillinger might be first up to
oh,
get
I
a
think
shot
he will.
At it.
I think he will
but
be.
It's going to be really quick.
Yeah.
So Ty, Bobby.
There's just not a whole, like, what are their top of the card faces are there on SmackDown? Or upper mid card faces?
Yeah, I know.
If Sammy hadn't turned, I'd put him on the list.
Hold on, what matches were on here? Let's see here. Yeah, I know, right? How about a day with Tommy? Brizingo.
Yeah, it's Dillinger and Rude.
That's weird, huh?
How about this? The New Day. They can Freebird rule the U.S. title.
As much as I love that, I don't think they're ever going to do it.
No, I don't think they're going to do
it. I would love it. I think that's going to be my guess. I'm guessing that it's going to be Ty Dillinger while Bobby finishes up with Dolph, and then it's going to be Bobby Roode. That's what I think. Unless they just have Baron Corbin like have the title for a really long time, you know,
which is possible.
Yeah, no, it's totally possible. Keeping strong. Daryl Takahashi. This isn't really a question. He's just also understands that 2B Bludgeon Brothers. I mean, it seems obvious.
Yeah.
Because it feels like they had the name, they were ready to pull the trigger on them, and then they realize, you know what? This might be too serious for how, like, we don't want to expose them to, like, a comedic angle, but they just kept the name because they liked the name.
Yeah, it could be. Another one from Daryl Takahashi with Neville.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Seemingly out of the company, who takes over as top cruiserweight? Eventually, it's got to be Cedric Alexander. Of anybody on the roster right now, it's got
to
be him.
They need to really start building up his character stuff, which is already on a good path, but...
He's great in the ring. He's very comfortable on the mic.
Yeah.
He just needs, yes, a character. Really well-developed character that's got motivation.
Yeah.
That's what he needs. And I'm hoping this Kendrick Gallagher feud will start...
We'll open that up for
leading
him.
Creative in that direction.
Yeah, no, I agree.
But it has to be Cedric Alexander.
See if you can find a couple other good ones, and then we'll get to trivia.
Wade freaking O'Brien. Kevin's Heaven. If Owens had a family show, could you cast the bunch or give him the Osbournes treatment? So would it be a reality show or a scripted narrative? Family show. Kevin's Heaven.
I hate reality shows, so I'm going to say not that.
Okay. Would it be a sitcom, a drama?
Well, I would want from the creators of Arrested Development.
All right.
That's what I would want.
Okay.
Kevin's Heaven.
Kevin's Heaven.
It'd be the same kind of improv type stuff.
Single camera?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't want some freaking Kevin James crap.
You don't want a laugh track over Kevin Owens' life?
No, man. No. No. No way.
Who would you cast in the show? Would Kevin Owens play himself, or would you cast someone as Kevin Owens?
Well, obviously, he would play himself.
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah, no, and then Leah Remini would be his wife.
She would play Sami Zayn.
Well, that's Sami Zayn.
Sami Zayn, of course, yes.
Sami Zayn, yeah. He'd be the crazy neighbor, best friend. Your best friend moved into your basement? Ah! He saw me in the shower on by accident. That's an episode there.
Right there. Episode. There it is.
Well, now we're just booking a sitcom.
I know.
It's not even Arrested Development anymore.
All right, find one more, and then it's trivia time.
Uno mas, and then trivia time. Elias Ghoul. That's the best name. Elias Ghoul. Hey, friendo. Seeing as the Usos are now tweeners, in a manner of speaking, I guess.
Yeah.
Do you think a heel Shelton and Gable may step up, or do you see them saving it until Clash of Champions for Sammy and Kevin taking it off them? Boy, I like the idea of, like, a face-ish tweener Usos against Sammy and Kevin.
That'd be great.
Ooh.
That'd be really good.
Ooh.
Yeah, make that happen.
I like that. Well That'd done, awesome. Elias Ghoul.
All right, now we're doing chat trivia.
Questions are just up like this. That's
great. I wasn't paying attention. First, we're going to do Attitude Era.
This isn't chat trivia. This is just trivia.
Oh, sorry, trivia.
And then in the post show for patrons, we do chat trivia. Here we go.
Oh, you can go first. What are you doing? Attitude?
Attitude. Yes. Big events.
Mm-hmm.
Who did The Rock last eliminate to win the 2000 Royal Rumble match?
Mick Foley.
Well,
oh, I knew that. Damn it.
Well, it's the Big Show.
I knew that. Big events.
Big events.
What diva was shaved bald as a result of her losing a match for the WWE Women's Championship at WrestleMania 20?
Serena Deeb.
Molly Holly.
Oh, crap. That's right. I don't know. I just know Serena Deeb had that bald head for the Straight Edge Society.
Yeah, she did.
She probably did that herself, though. I don't think she ever competed for the Women's Championship. Championships. What superstar was Intercontinental co-champion with China in January 2000?
Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought Eddie Guerrero, too, but I don't think they were ever co-champion. Championships. Yeah. Who returned to an ECW ring in April 2000 to defeat Mike Awesome for the ECW World Heavyweight Championship despite being a WWE superstar at the time?
Taz.
Yeah.
That was a really bizarre situation.
It really was.
It's pretty great, though. Superstar bio.
Yeah.
What 76-year-old woman was powerbombed through a table by the Dudley Boys in 2000? Very good.
Superstar bio. What superstar crashed the funeral of... Well,
Big Boss Man.
Yeah.
Big events in the...
Modern
era. Modern era, okay. After losing in his first Elimination Chamber match, what superstar went on to win his next four Elimination Chamber matches?
Triple H.
Yeah, I mean, it's Triple H. It's during, you know...
Right of terror.
During the modern era, Triple H would win. And the Elimination Chamber thing is such a him thing.
Yeah. When Batista and John Cena met in singles competition for the first time ever at SummerSlam 2009, who took home the victory?
Well, Cena wins.
Batista.
Damn it! It was a 50-50 chance!
Lol, Batista wins.
Idiot! Never bet against John Cena.
But at SummerSlam, he has a...
Oh, his record at SummerSlam, yeah.
It's not good.
Dubious. Championships. Who did CM Punk defeat in a TLC match for the World Heavyweight Championship at SummerSlam 2009?
Jeff Hardy.
Very good.
What two superstars did John Cena face in a triple threat match for the World Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania 25?
Wait, WrestleMania 25? Oh. Uh-huh. Wait, John Cena?
Uh-huh.
Who did he fight at 25?
Two
at 25?
Yeah.
Triple H or Randy Orton?
Well.
Okay.
An Edge.
I was going to say that. I didn't know that was a WrestleMania, though.
Yeah, it was.
That was a WrestleMania?
It was.
Because the one before that is when Big Show literally killed John Cena.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I didn't know that was a WrestleMania. Superstar bio. Who, according to his entrance music, hears voices in his head. He comes to me. They count to me. That's they the, come
the
on me.
Predator Randy Orton Viper.
Correct.
Superstar bio. What superstar won the first season of NXT?
The first season of NXT?
First season of NXT.
Is this an obvious answer?
No.
Is he still around?
I'm not going to answer that.
Oh, crap. Was Ryback?
I'm afraid he got some bad news, Steve.
Oh, was what? He Wade won Barrett. The first season of NXT?
Yeah, that's what the card said.
Okay, I guess that makes some sense. I always get that and Tough Enough mixed up.
I get
that's
three
when they
cards.
Had mentors. Yeah, okay. All right.
I'm the best.
You see that the promo they did for Defiant Wrestling?
Oh, yeah.
You know, man, it was never too late for them just to say, oh, yeah, Defiant is too close to Defy.
I know.
Maybe we'll change it to something cooler. USS Reliant.
I get Ivory.
Good.
Theodore Long.
Okay.
John Cena.
Oh my, is he suplexing Eddie Guerrero again? Uh-huh. I feel like
I've got that card before.
I feel like we both got that card before.
There must be a lot of John Cena in there.
That's a little weird.
All right, we're done with that.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. We want to say thanks to everybody out there for tuning in. We really appreciate it. And until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.